as we pray. I'm going to share some things with you tonight about water baptism, understanding water baptism. Before I share with you about water baptism, I want to share with you about understanding. If I was preaching tonight or ministering or teaching, we would be on the anointing of understanding. How do we know something has anointing on it? How do we know if something has anointing? How do we know whether wisdom has anointing on it or not? We're going to be here till midnight if you don't know the answers to these. It's only been preaching on them for about 6 weeks or more. How do we know something has the anointing on it? Because it, what? It destroys yokes and lifts burdens. Thank you, Jesus. Right? If it's the anointing of knowledge, how do we know it? There's anointing on it? It destroys yokes and lifts burdens. If there's anointing on understanding, how do we know there's anointing on it? It lifts yokes and destroys burdens. See, you are in a unique place. You are in a unique church.
That's right. Amen.
Because you have a shepherd that stands in the pulpit to give you understanding.
Amen.
We're not here to be entertained. This stage, this platform is not, listen to me, is not a place to perform and to entertain. One of the primary reasons you come to church is to get understanding. Because if you don't have understanding, you don't have direction. And if you don't have direction, you don't know where you're going. And if you don't know where you're going, you're not going to know when you get there if that's where you were supposed to be going. Now let me just tell you something else. The first and most important thing you do in your life is what? Get born again. Receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Second step is you get understanding of what water baptism is. Water baptism is for a believer. It's not for a sinner. All of you that come to a church like this, every one of you should have a Bible. You should never, never, say it with me, say never, as a Christian, come to a church like this without your Bible. Well, I would say any church, but not a lot of churches. There's a lot of churches that don't use the Bible. But we use the Bible. Now, let me tell you something else you need. You need a pencil and a pad. You need to take notes of what the preacher is saying. But let me qualify that. When you're sitting out there and there's anointing, anointed ears hear two voices. Minimum. One voice is the Holy Spirit. The other voice is the voice of the preacher. The reason you need a notepad and a pen is because those are going to be speaking to you. Now, the Holy Spirit takes priority over every other voice.
Amen.
The reason you bring your pad and your pencil is because through the ministry of the Word, the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you. And you want to write that down. You say, but I might miss what you're saying, Pastor. That's why we record it. Amen. I'm just trying to teach you guys some stuff to get understanding. Because a lot of people don't have understanding of why they even need to come to church. See, the Holy Spirit may only speak something to you once. And if you miss it, you've missed it. But you can go back and listen to the recording and hear what I said. Now, I'm not telling you not to listen to me. I'm just telling you, expect the Holy Spirit to speak to you when the teaching and the ministry is going forth in a church like this. Proverbs 4:7 says what? It says, wisdom is the principal thing. What is wisdom? Come on. What is wisdom? Come on, young people, help me out. What is wisdom? Yeah, but what is wisdom? Wisdom is the Word of God. We could substitute wisdom for the Word of God, couldn't we not? The Word of God is the principal thing. Wisdom of God is the principal thing. And then it tells us what? In all of your getting what? Get understanding. So if you're in church and you're hearing the Word and you're not getting understanding, then you're not really hearing the Word. I'm trying to give you some understanding tonight. How many of you can remember a time when you sat in church and you didn't understand what the preacher was preaching? How many can remember when you heard the preacher preach a sermon or a message and you didn't understand? That's what we're talking about. When you come to church, you don't come just to get the Word, you come to get understanding. Because understanding is when you have comprehension to be able to do what you heard to do. That's the difference. See, in just a place where you come to get a religious message, I'm not here to be an orator. I'm not here. Somebody said, Pastor, I loved your speech. I had to correct them because I said, I am not giving a speech. I'm not giving you a speech. God has called me to be a shepherd to you, to give you understanding. Amen. I have failed you if I teach the Word, but in the teaching of the Word have not given you understanding. Because if you don't have understanding, you will never become a doer of the Word. Now, Jesus said it this way, and I am going to get to understanding water baptism, but I'm just trying to get you to understand that most people don't understand water baptism. So consequently, they never get free. They never get free. And you can sit in church for years and years and years and be in the same bondage or even greater bondages than even before you came to know the Lord. God has not called you back into bondage. But He's called you into liberty. See, people don't understand why they praise God. They don't understand why they need to be a worshiper. They lack understanding. That's why He said, in all you're getting, get understand. Because understanding brings you to a place where you can comprehend what you've heard to the point of being able to do it when and if necessary. What does it profit you to gain the whole world but yet lose your soul? Jesus taught it like this. Just look at Luke chapter 24. How many know it's important to comprehend so you'll be able to do it? That's what we come to church for, really, really. If you want to get down to the bottom line, you didn't come to get saved. You're already saved, right? Amen. You ought to be full of the Holy Spirit. Now here's what it says. Then He said to them, these are the words. And this is the reason you need your Bible. So you can read it, because wisdom comes from the written word there as well as the spoken word. These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the Scriptures. Have you ever heard something and you didn't understand it? I run into people all the time. They don't understand. See, we have to have our understanding open so we can understand what God is saying to us through the Scriptures. Now, there's another real... And listen, a lot of times we're looking for emotions and we're looking for feelings, but we're not supposed to be chasing the emotions and the feelings. Nothing wrong with emotions and feelings, but we should not be chasing them. We should be chasing understanding. Because if we don't have and get understanding, we're going to fall off the deep end. Now there's another scripture in Jeremiah. One more here and then I'll get on this baptism. Jeremiah. How many of you know where Jeremiah is? You see, too, some of y'all are young Christians. And we just sometimes automatically assume everybody knows where the Scriptures are. But you know what? Everybody doesn't know where the Scriptures are. That's why they put a table of contents in the Bible. What's wrong with going to the table of contents and finding Jeremiah, page 1074? Oh, but some of you want to be a lot more spiritual and just flip through. Father. But what if you miss it? See, we just sometimes take for granted, because we come into a church like this, that everybody's at that level where they just know exactly where everything is in their Bible. Now, a lot of people know a lot of Scripture, but again, they lack understanding. But you're in a church where the pastor was not called up here to run for a popularity contest or to have a board of deacons tell him what he can preach and what he can't preach. Somebody ought to say, thank God. Can you imagine to get a thrill of being on a board that can order and tell the preacher what to preach and what not to preach. But yet, there are so many. Jesus is still head of the church. Amen. And He appoints under shepherds. And everything's got to flow from the what? The top down. Are y'all listening to this? I'm just trying to help you get understanding. Sometimes Christians don't know how to act. They don't know how to dress. They don't know how to conduct themselves because they lack understanding. Why do you do some of the things you do? Is it to draw attention to yourself? Why would you draw attention to yourself? He said, I will. Let's read the scripture. Jeremiah 3, verse 15 says, and I will give you. See, I'll wait for you to turn. I will give you what? Shepherds. Everybody say shepherds. According to my heart. Now, we already know it's the will of God that you get understanding, right? He said, in all you're getting, what? Get understanding. The ability to comprehend to the point of being able to do it. A lot of people can't do it. He said, I will give you shepherds according to my heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. That is my highest call to you. It's to go before the Lord and make sure when I come up here, I'm feeding you with knowledge and with understanding. It's important that we understand water baptism, that we don't just do it like so many others do it as a form of religion. Well, we're saved and now we need to get baptized. That's correct. But why are we getting baptized? See, I want to know the whys. Because when I know the whys, then I get understanding of why I do this. If I know my car takes gas, that's great to know that, but I need to know why it takes gas. Because I can say, hey, my car takes gas to run. But I can forget to put some in there and what's going to happen. I understand that little light comes on or it gets down there and I better get some gas. Are you with me? In the book of Hebrews, I'm just telling you these things because many people don't understand water baptism. I sat in a church for years where I think now I wasted so much time. They never taught me things like this. They just told me, you need to do it. Never had any understanding about it. You see, that's why there's been so many wars, denominational wars and splits in churches over this topic of baptism. Not understanding what water baptism is. Now, in the book of Hebrews, and by the way, if you're a new Christian, you should get in a foundation class. Amen. I said you should get in a foundation class. Amen. Because you're not going to go very far in your Christian walk without understanding. Amen. Now, he tells us in Hebrews chapter 6, let me read this right quick to you. In case you haven't read this before. He says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. Now, how many know that water baptism is an elementary principle? It's kindergarten, basic ABCs. But a lot of people try to cheat the system. Can you imagine going to college and never going to elementary or junior high or high school? He said, let us go on to what? To perfection, to completion, to maturation. To be mature so we can walk upright in the earth so people can see our life and our light. Remember? It says, not laying again the foundation of repentance. Well, before we can get saved, we need to repent, right? From dead works. How many of you know what dead works are? This is a fundamental principle, foundation. It says, and of faith towards God. And of the doctrine. Now, I want you to see this one. And the doctrines of what? Baptisms. But notice in your Bible, baptisms is more than one. So that tells us that there's many baptisms. But we've got to understand what the word baptism means. Baptism means that we take something and immerse it into another substance. In this case, what we're going to do in just a moment is we're going to take you and immerse you into a tank of water. So we call that water baptism. But before we can legitimately, or I say legally, be water baptized. Now there's a lot of people that got water baptized in a church that were no more saved than a man in the moon. Or they got sprinkled when they were a little baby that had no understanding whatsoever, much less could do it in faith. So there has to be a baptism, the Bible talks about, into the body of Christ. You were immersed into this family of God. Now, who immersed you into the family of God? This is basic ABC Christianity. The Holy Spirit immersed you into the family of God. You could not get saved except the Holy Spirit drew you. That's why when you come to church, you focus in. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that's speaking. Remember? I'm speaking to you, and the Holy Spirit is speaking. If the Holy Spirit speaks to you something, write it down because it's important. Don't forget it. Are you with me? Well, there's one. So that has to happen before the others. Well, how about the baptism in the Holy Ghost? Who performs that baptism? Basic ABC Christianity again. All these things, see, if I don't go to scriptures and read these scriptures, you won't know these things. But Jesus baptizes us with the Holy Ghost, with evidence. What's the evidence? Well, the evidence, I'll speak in new tongues. Again, they don't understand. Why do I need to speak in tongues? Because that's how you communicate on the level with God. So that you can talk to Him at that level of intelligence. Can you imagine talking to God on your level of intelligence? Now, He understands you because He will open His ear to hear you even out of your ignorance. He's not going to make fun of you, but it's not His will that we stay ignorant. Amen. But that we be able to have revealed our revelation back to us what we're talking. How many would you like to know what you and God talk about? Well, I would. That's where this showing of great and mighty things are. Well, now let's get on here because of time. And so I'm just telling you, we got to make sure that we're not wasting and playing church. The days of playing church should be over for you. Amen. At this level. The Bible calls unbelief an evil heart. And I'm going to tell you something. If you don't have understanding, you get into unbelief real easy. You don't believe that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Now let's look at a few more scriptures here. How do I get understanding? Well, I'll have to tell you that some other time. But we're talking about baptism. 1 Corinthians, let's look at the scriptures. I don't teach on this much because we have a foundation class. But unfortunately, a lot of you that need to go to foundation class don't go. So I'm being a good shepherd here and feeding you with knowledge and understanding. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21. And 22. It says, for since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. Now, who was the first man to enact spiritual death? Adam. For since by man, who did death come into the world by? My goodness. My goodness, maybe I better start teaching foundation. Nobody knows the story of Adam and Eve? Or y'all just shy and don't want to shout at me? It says, for since by man death came, or came death, by man, now notice, big M, who's the big M? Okay. Also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in what? Adam all die. Even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Now jump over to verse 45. As it is written, the first man Adam became a living being. The last Adam, say the last Adam. Now see, here's where you need understanding. Who's the last Adam? Jesus. All right. It didn't say he was the first Adam. It said he's the last Adam, okay? Because he's the last one that's ever going to make the sacrifice by which you can be saved. That's why the Bible calls him the last Adam. The first Adam goofed up. But how many know the last Adam didn't goof up? Okay. It says the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Now, turn over to Romans. Just turn real quickly here. Let's cover these. Jesus is the sacrifice. He is Lord and Savior, and He is the one that we identify with. How many know as Christians we identify with someone? Come on, somebody. We don't identify with Paris Hilton. Hello. We don't identify with whatever the latest fad is. We identify with Jesus. You see, I'm saying these things to you so that you get understanding. If you don't have understanding, you're going to try to imitate and duplicate the world. Romans chapter 6, if you're there, say amen. Verse 4, 5, and 6. Let's read it. Say identified. Who are you identified with tonight? Now you're going, you guys that are being baptized, this is where you need understanding. You are being identified with someone in doing this act of baptism. Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. And let me just read the last one there, verse 7. For he who has died has been free from sin. You ever seen a Christian that had trouble with sin, that couldn't get free from the sin? It's because they didn't have an understanding of water baptism. If you don't have an understanding, a comprehension of the Word, you will not be able to do it. And if you're not able to do it, you will stay in bondage. Let me read another one to you. Well, just turn to Galatians chapter 2. Let me cover these. Galatians chapter 2. Are y'all okay? Okay. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Baptism gives us an opportunity to openly testify. I'll ask you, do you understand what you're doing? It gives you an opportunity to openly testify of what has inwardly happened to you. Here's what he said in verse 20 of Galatians 2. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. Are you saying, Pastor, I was on the cross with Jesus? If you identify with him, you are. Because in baptism, you're identifying with him what? In his death. How did he die? On the cross. Was he buried? Hey, was he buried? Yes. You're fixing to be buried in a water grave. Was he resurrected? Hallelujah. You're identifying with what? Death. Burial, resurrection. Are you getting some understanding? It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the whole perspective here. That's what we're talking about. Now, Jesus left us the Great Commission. Where's the Great Commission found? Well, it's found in Mark chapter 16, the very last scripture in the New Testament of Mark, but also in Matthew 28, where Jesus said, I'll just give you the reference because of time, Matthew 28:19 says that we are to go into all the world, into all the nations. It says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and in the Son, and in the Holy Ghost. So we baptize in the name of the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now that brings up a question. What was John's baptism? John the Baptist. I mean, ever heard of John the Baptist? Well, look in John chapter 1, and let's answer that question, because again, if we can be technically baptized before our salvation, then it really is not a legal salvation. But John was baptizing before people were saved. But the reason he was baptizing people before they were saved is found in John, chapter 1, verses 29 and 30. Well, let me back up to verse 28. It says, these things were done in Bethsaida, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus, now look at this, coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing with water. In other words, the purpose of his baptism was to announce to Israel that the Son of God had come. Now, water baptism is not the same as salvation. Get understanding there. There are those that will try to tell you that you're not saved until you are baptized in water. That is not scriptural. That's not what the Bible teaches. In the book of Acts chapter 2, let's read it right quick. Acts chapter 2. And this is where that doctrine and fallacy comes from. But see, without understanding baptism's plural, people get confused. Okay, they don't understand the difference between being baptized in the body of Christ, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and baptized in water for the remission of sins. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, says, "Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Now, let me ask you something. Is it talking about water baptism, or is it talking about salvation? The Scripture interprets itself. Does water baptism wash your sins away? No. So the Scripture has to be referring to the baptism of Jesus into the body of Christ. We have to repent. What does it mean to repent? It means that we're going one way and we turn around and go another way. We were in sin. We were dead in sin and trespasses, but God. Amen. And we changed direction. Okay, it's important that we see that. When a person is born again, he's baptized by Jesus, as far as Jesus being the Lord of our life, as the Holy Spirit is the one that immerses us into the body of Christ. Now, let me give you some scripture on that so that you'll have understanding. But water baptism, if you're taking any kind of notes, just make sure that you have written down that water baptism is not a baptism that saves. You ought to be saved by the time you do this. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, right? Just keep going right. Galatians, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "In Him we have redemption through His blood." Everybody say, the blood of Jesus. That's the only way that we can be cleansed from our sin. "And the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace." Does baptism forgive us of our sins? No. Okay. And then the other one would be, of course, Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22. Hebrews chapter 9. It says in verse 22, "And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of the blood of Jesus, there is no remission." In other words, I could not have my sins removed and blotted out. Let me just give you one more in the book of Revelation, because this is important that you get understanding here. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. It's good just to use our Bibles a little bit here. The projector's out. Maybe it's a blessing here. It says, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." It didn't say He washed us from our sins in our water baptism. Are you with me, church? Okay, so water baptism is the experience after salvation to confirm and strengthen your commitment to live upright, to live a godly and a holy life. God didn't save us so we could go back living the life that we came out of. We are new creations. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. Amen. Now go back to Romans chapter 6. The water baptism represents a burial ground. And this is very important that you get understanding once again in Romans chapter 6. And we read verses 3 through 6 already, but let's read 10 and following here. Are you there? Okay. Verse 10 in Romans 6 says, "For the death that he died," who's it talking about? Jesus. "He died to sin once for all. But the life that he gives, he lives to God." In other words, Jesus is not going to be crucified anymore. He's not going to become another sacrifice for you. He did it once and once for all. You have to receive that, and you have to believe that by faith. When you get understanding of that, then you will have the comprehension to do what it said do and to stay free from sin. It says, "Likewise you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin." When you go down in that water in just a moment, you've got to reckon yourself dead, just like you had died, just like you had taken your last breath, just like when they hung Jesus on the cross and they crucified the Lord. You identify with that crucifixion because you were there on that cross in Jesus. It says, "Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body." Don't let it reign. Don't let it have any place. Don't let it have any dominion. If you're in it, get out. If you're in it, repent. Get understanding that if you stay in it, you're dying. And you're supposed to already be dead to it. Well, can anybody make a mistake? Sure. But be smart enough to get out of the sin. So you can have wisdom and knowledge and understanding operating so you can get out of the consequences. It says, "When I yield myself," again in verse 12, he said, don't let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it and its lust. And I like verse 13, "And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness." The word members there is talking about your hands and your arms and your body. There we go again. See, young ladies, understanding. You know, we're not putting anybody in bondage by the way they dress, but I'm going to tell you something. The way you dress is what you're going to attract. And if you're dressing to attract, well, I can tell you what they're looking at. And what they're looking at, you may not want. But without understanding, see, we don't understand what it means to dress modest. We don't understand what it means to come to church and be reverent towards the Lord. Just pastoring you. "Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." I want to read one last one. Is that thing working? I want them to read out of the Amplified. And really, that's what the screen is for, is to be able to use the scripture for those that, visitors and people that don't know better, to bring their Bible, and when we use other translations. But let me read this closing scripture. You can look at it in your version there. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. See, we're talking about dedicating our lives to the Lord. We're talking about an understanding of death and burial and resurrection. It says, and baptism, which is, I'm reading out of the Amplified, so just listen if you don't have it. It says, which is a figure of their deliverance, does now also save you from inward questioning and fears. Not salvation as in going to heaven when I die, but the inward turmoil of always being confused, of again listening and reading your Bible, but never understanding it. Not understanding the preacher. Better read it before the light burns out again, but read it right quick. Not by the removing of outward body filth bathing, but by providing you with the answer of good and clear conscience, inward cleansing and peace before God, because you are demonstrating what you believe in yours through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How many of you believe that Jesus went to the cross and took your sin, took your shame, and took your guilt and everything that you stood for in Adam so that you could be everything that He stands for in God? He made an exchange on that cross. And we should know at least and have that understanding in this church, that that change has got to begin on the inside of us. If all we have understanding is that all baptism is just to be in obedience to God, well, all we're going to do is get wet. Because I can assure you, if you don't learn to keep that flesh where it needs to be, it will come back and it will dog you all the days of your Christian walk. Are you here? So get a revelation tonight. I love to talk about water baptism because it's got to become so much an understanding that you've got a dead person strapped to you. If you don't once and for all cut loose that dead person, you know, the Bible says that water baptism is a New Testament circumcision. How many of you know what circumcision is? You young guys know what circumcision is? Every male, remember, was commanded to be circumcised. Not under the law. It was before the law. Abraham was commanded by God to circumcise every male on the eighth day. And every servant, whether bond, free, bought, were to be circumcised. But you know what? Water baptism is a circumcision for the New Testament believer.
Amen.
Why? Just as the circumcision in the flesh, guys, is a mark of the covenant, the water baptism is a mark of the covenant of the New Testament. That we believe what Jesus did for us.
Amen.
Amen. And we live not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Come, we've had a little bit more understanding of water baptism tonight. See, that's what God has called us to do in this church, is to make sure that we get understanding. Praise the Lord. Did I do okay? Because you teach this all the time, don't you? Oh, see, I told you I get these guys mixed up. You teach this all the time, right, Paul? They do look alike, don't they? Especially when they're both woolly. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. I want all the baptism candidates. I tell you what, let's all stand up just a moment. Let's all stand up. Let's close our eyes just a moment. First of all, give God thanks if you're saved. Amen. Thank God if you... I think I was baptized three times. Two, one for sure in ignorance. The other one I thought I did what I was doing. And the third one, I had understanding. Boy, it sure helped me. So, if you want to be a candidate tonight. Now, I usually say this. If you're one of these Christians that are struggling with your flesh, You ought to get some understanding on baptism, and you ought to redo it in faith. Now, we all struggle from time to time, but I'm talking about there's a constant struggle, and you can't get victory, and you can't win. See, this is the victory that overcomes the world, right? Even what? Our faith. Then you make a good candidate for going down into the grave of water baptism. If there's somebody in here tonight that's not born again, maybe you're here and you're not saved. Now, just close your eyes just a moment, bow your head, just in reverence, that's all. Say, Pastor, I don't know if I'm even saved or not. There's a lot of people that are confused about salvation. You should not be confused. You're either saved or you're not. Now, sometimes you don't have all the knowledge of salvation, so you doubt, but remember,